The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Underestimate the power of PlayStation.
I think we're good to go, buddy.
Okay.
The tempo has changed.
Yeah.
And we are live. As in, like, you can say
Beyond.
Beyond.
Release the Kraken. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 171. I'm your host, Greg Miller, alongside the rash-inducing Ryan Clements.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's a negative one.
I don't like that
one. That's a negative
one
this week.
What you got? What you got?
Yeah. What do you do about it?
Nothing. No.
All right.
I said I didn't like it, so.
All right, well, you know, they're one-shots. Every week it's new.
Never again.
No, you'll never hear Rash
never again.
Again. And the dude formerly known as the God's Guru, Colin Moriarty.
Beyond.
Beyond indeed. What's up, kids?
Nah.
Not much, man. I'm excited. Are we going to finally choose what Colin's going to go with?
Nope.
What's the status of
the readers are voting on that one.
Oh, okay.
It goes live today. They've mulled it. We get to put some of the options together in a poll, put it in the Podcast Beyond article. Remember, Colin Moriarty, no longer on the guys' team. He's now a member of IGN editorial, writing reviews, such as Mass Effect 2, which went live today. Or not this day. This week.
It went
it's been
live
a really long week,
yeah,
and I'm
tired.
Really tired.
It's been a crazy week.
A really long week. So we're looking for a new name for Colin. He was Guides Guru. Throughout the weeks here, we've been presenting you with options for names. Lots of good ones have come in.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to vote and pick what I will call Colin from here on out. It will be posted inside the Podcast Beyond article today. Our top picks so far, the ones we've enjoyed the most.
Mm-hmm.
You vote, we go from there.
Yep.
All right, let's get right to it. Let's start it with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I didn't even write it down this week. I was able to get that on my own. As usual, the man formerly known as the God's Guru has generated the Roper Report, and we'll see what he spun this week.
Is there none?
I don't think so.
No.
Maybe
one.
I don't really remember.
Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2 on PS3 have been successfully targeted and hacked by those utilizing the massive console security breach that broke in recent weeks. Because both games rely entirely on the console's security encryption, there doesn't seem to be a fix possible, except to play private matches with people you know. Not only can these new hacks make sure the games are make the games unplayable and frustrating, but your statistics can also be wiped permanently. So be careful! Parentheses. Treyarch Call of Duty games aren't suffering from this issue.
All right, well, there's a little bit of a...
Well, they are. I mean, that's true.
No, that's a good fact. Good
they factoid. Are, because they don't rely on their... I was reading the story, I think Jim wrote it, that... I guess, not Infinity Ward or whatever, but Activision's looking at what Treyarch does, and they don't rely solely on the encryption of the system, and that's why Black Ops, I guess, in World at War are fine.
That was just funny how, parentheses, the games I like, they don't have this problem.
Yeah, if you want to play some Treyarch shooters, you can still play those. I think it's really crazy like that these things are happening that cannot be. Usually when you find something like that happens, it's like, well, we'll fix it, we'll patch it. This doesn't seem to be fixable.
It's a black hole that can't be stopped.
And that's like probably the most popular shooters.
Here's my, when I hear about stuff like this, I get a little uncomfortable. Is this something that's really going to play against Sony? The year of the PlayStation for Sony.
Yeah, I mean,
this is not good news.
Couldn't happen.
I don't know. I get freaked out.
I guess I don't care. I just don't play that many multiplayer games.
But yeah, but imagine really someone who's loves their multiplayer shooters or whatever multiplayer.
I see what you mean.
I mean, man, if this ruins it for them, I mean, that's bad.
Yeah, it does suck. I do feel bad for people that enjoy those games, but I mean, and trophies are getting hacked, and it seems like it's like a post-apocalyptic PlayStation 3 right now. Everyone's just running amok doing what they want.
It's whatever you want. Wild West out there.
Yeah.
And there are so many PS3s out there now. Like it, I mean, it's not like Sony can release a new version of the PlayStation 3 with enhanced security, and then just. But I mean, there's still all those hacked systems.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I'm so confused.
Just keep playing your games. I'm not worried about it. Like, somebody wants to have a trophy level of 40,000. It's like, okay, I don't care. Like, I use my trophy. I don't go online on leaderboards and say, oh, what's other people doing? You know what I mean? I want to see what I'm doing compared to Colin or Jeff Rubenstein.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't try to even compare myself to Will Powers, former winner of the tester, because he's insane.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Mark Ryan was talking about, you know, making fun of me, basically being like, oh, the trophies are compromised now, and they're going to erase them and stuff.
Wait a second.
I was like, what?
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt.
What were you going to say?
We're talking about Will Powers?
Yeah.
Oh, and he works at Sony now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got emails from him recently. He was on the tester?
Yeah, he won the tester. And he tested for 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, and now he moved to PR.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan of the show. He's listening right now, guaranteed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was just sending me emails. He was helping me out with some travel stuff.
That's how far you can go, yeah.
Yeah, look at that. Mm-hmm. He was just a guy on the show.
Yeah. He was just a guy.
Just a guy.
Kind of like you.
Think back to the day we interviewed him for an episode of GameScoop and then didn't even air the interview.
Beyond
poor Will.
So I was just saying was that like the trophy system is compromised, and some games you can hack them and get all the trophies immediately. And they'll even – what I was talking about originally with Mark Ryan was like they can – because the timestamps would all be the same, Sony can just go in and start pinging for people that have all these. But then like they're actually randomizing the dates on the timestamps and stuff. Yeah.
Which I didn't even do when I used the trophy bug in Modern Warfare 2 or Modern Warfare. Yeah,
it was two.
Was it two? All right, whatever.
With the
I unlocked all those multiplayer trophies at the same time and date.
It's like it is a problem, but I agree. It's like most people aren't going to take advantage of it. What I was telling Mark Ryan was that like a vast majority of PlayStation 3 owners don't even know that this is happening. They will not know that this is happening. The people that do know, then there's a fraction of them that will do it. Then there's a fraction of them that will actually like so a few people are ruining it for everyone. In other words,
being ruined. I don't know. The multiplayer shooter part, yeah, that's being ruined. Obviously, I want to jump into a random match and get rolled, but whatever. Bizarre Creations, the studio responsible for Blur, is almost definitely going to be closed down since Activision can't find a buyer.
Yeah.
Anybody care? Anybody play Blur?
No, but I heard it, you know, decent things about it.
Yeah, no, Arthur loved it. Yeah, or not loved it.
It didn't sell well.
Yeah.
It's just sad when you see like a studio make a good game. It's not like an amazing game, but it's a good game, and they get shut down.
Speaking of making a good game and getting shut down, Propaganda Games, no longer in the business. Disney has officially announced that they are closing them. They are the guys who made Turok, and then we're working on that Pirates of the Caribbean Armada of the Damned,
which we saw and played, and
everybody was like, oh, this is nice.
Which I actually traveled to Vancouver that wasn't a long trip, but still.
Yeah,
I went there, saw the studio, saw all these great people.
I went up there and did it for Turok.
Nice, talented guys.
Yeah.
You played it?
Done.
I forgot.
Have you played it or not? Yeah. They showed it at E3.
They were like showing it to me a lot, and for some reason I forgot if I was actually holding a controller.
It's just cool to playing a game that's never going to come out. You were one of the rare people to see it and play it.
Oh man,
it's not cool. It's a sad story.
I mean, it's sad, but I mean, it's cool for.
They were working on a Flash game that looked pretty good. Not Bizarre, but there was a Flash game that got closed down years ago. Not cool.
And I'm not just dilly-dallying on my phone, by the way.
I know you're
I'm making
you're,
sure we're
oh,
good.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Ryan Clements has a previous engagement, but as a trooper. He is to the Beyond Nation. He's here to try to crank out a Beyond for you.
Hell yeah.
Up next, because of the implementation of Steam with the release of Portal 2 on PS3, gamers on PS3 will be able to play cross-platform with those gaming on the PC or Mac. Better yet, developer Valve has confirmed that their intention is to make the PS3 version of Portal 2 the supreme console iteration. You look pretty happy about that, Colin.
I just think it's wild that like we'll be able to play... through Steam with people that are playing on totally different platforms. It's pretty awesome. And okay. I know that that's been attempted before, maybe even has happened in rare instances, but as far as I know, that's a pretty difficult thing to do. So, mm-hmm. And I'm excited. Like, I want to know, like, how Steam is going to be implemented. Like, will I be able to... Is Steam going to be, like, very limited? You know, like, what do we know? Do we know anything about it? I mean, well...
What they've released here.
Because, like, for instance, like, this is what I'm excited about. Hear me out.
He's excited. He's got face.
I'm, like, totally PC ignorant with the games until I started playing Civilization 5. So I had to download Steam or whatever.
You even sounded with the way you were like, I'm PC ignorant, you know, with those games.
With those games that the kids are playing with the keyboards in the house. So... I was playing, you know, so, but then I realized, like, I was earning, you know, these Steam achievements or whatever when I was playing Civilization. Now, will I be able to play, like, a game like Civilization on my PlayStation, you know, and hook up a mouse and a keyboard or whatever?
Yeah.
And better yet, will these Steam achievements become trophies? What are they planning with the Steam?
No,
could it be something exciting, or could it be something totally lame and limited?
It'll be lame and limited. Yeah. You're getting ahead. You're getting way ahead there.
Because maybe they have grand designs. You know?
Colin, I can't take a photo of myself to use as my avatar on PlayStation 3. It's not going to be some formula converting Steam achievements into trophies. It's the giant back computer from the Adam West show.
It's like all these gears turning.
Like the balls are rolling.
The drops into it.
There's a boot that kicks over a bucket that spills water.
I think it'll be. Like, I wonder what their plan are. Like, it seems like there might be a plan with Steam on PlayStation 3. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
That would be pretty
cool. Get me Left 4 Dead. I want some Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be nice.
But anyway, yeah, I was just not even the achievement thing, but I was just excited about the possibility of downloading some PC games and somehow playing it.
It'd be rad to be able to play Civ 5 on it.
Because I love me some Civ 5.
I know you do. Guess what, Ryan Clements?
Yes.
I was going to call you rash-inducing, but I remember that's done.
Thank you.
There are two new characters on the Marvel vs. Capcom 3 roster.
I know who they are.
Akuma. He's from Capcom. Or she's from Capcom. It's from Capcom.
It's a he.
And Taskmaster from Marvel.
Yes.
There you go.
So Taskmaster, didn't really know what this dude was all about. Was looking up on his wiki.
You went to the Wikipedia.
Yeah, I went to the Wikipedia. It's just a dude in a cape and a mask, skull mask.
That's all it takes, man.
Is that really what he is?
There he is.
Huh?
He's ready to go.
They're wasting so many effing roster spots.
I know. And so he just copies everybody's moves. That shouldn't have been a question.
I'm telling you.
He copies everyone's moves. And the question is he some sort of mimic in the Marvel universe? Does he, like, steal people's powers? Is he just a dude in a cape?
As most scholars would agree, the Marvel universe is really dumb.
Okay.
So I didn't read it that well.
No problem.
I left it the Clone Saga. Peace.
What was that guy from Mortal Kombat? Shane Tsung was on his name?
Shang Tsung? Steal people's souls.
Kind of like that, maybe.
Sure.
Did you guys see that recent Mortal Kombat trailer about Melina?
No.
It was hilarious. It was a narrator, and he was talking about how, like, you know, Shang Tsung created Melina in the depths of his flesh pits. And you were just like,
Sounds heavy.
And our own Arthur Geese actually commented about that on Twitter, where he was like, I'm glad that Shang Tsung was able to put giant fake boobs on this lady in flesh pits, with quotation marks.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I think they're like pits made of flesh and the, you know, torturous souls of the dead writhing in agony and for the damnation of 1,000 years.
I do not want to go there.
It's a top vacation spot in the netherworld.
Okay.
By the way, just real quick.
Goro's hanging out down there with a Hawaiian shirt on.
This just reminded me of some reason. I know Ryan enjoys like the little write-ups that they put on the PlayStation blog. And I didn't realize that those are actually copies of like what it says about the game on
the
PlayStation
store.
Network. So like for one of the Japanese imports, whatever, because I'm doing a story on the Japanese import store. I was just reading one of them, and it was the one where it was like, it's a common fact that every 1,000 years a new force rises in the galaxy or something like that. I'm like, wow, they actually put this in there?
This isn't just Rubenstein coming up with it.
That's funny as hell.
Yeah. I wish it was. Maybe he writes those too.
I really hope he does. I want
just
to know
who writes
Jeff,
those. He's got a laptop, and he's just got one of those like tennis balls, and he's bouncing it off the wall. What can I say about Desimon?
It's a little known fact. Once in 1,000 years.
Oh my gosh. All right. The top 10 best-selling games have been released by NPD. For individual games, there is no PS3 exclusive on the list, though the PS3 version of Black Ops is the second best-selling game of the year. When sales over platforms are combined, 6 games that appeared on the PS3 are on the list. Black Ops, Madden 11, Red Dead, Modern Warfare 2, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and NBA 2K11.
The only thing I was surprised about, I didn't expect to see Heavy Rain or anything on there, but I thought maybe God of War would sneak in.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Well, it's just you figure when you... it should have. You'd think it should have. You think it'll change this year?
Oh, I think there's going to be a lot of PlayStation games.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay.
And here's another prediction,
Friends.
I suspect that you're going to see – you're already kind of seeing more parity between the consoles. Like Final Fantasy 13 actually sold much better on PS3 than Xbox 360. You'd expect that. You saw that, I think, maybe even with Vanquish and some other games. But you're going to see it, I think, more and more with games that you wouldn't expect, including shooters. And what I'm most interested in as the PlayStation obviously catches up to 360 this year and probably surpasses it in worldwide sales, what will happen to the shooters, like the core shooters that people really like, the new Call of Duty, for instance? How is that going to sell on those two consoles or whatever? The one thing that makes me believe that might not be true is that there aren't a lot of Xbox exclusives this year, so people might really be waiting for those games because You know,
you figure right. There's a lot of people who play the shooters though who only play shooters, so right. They only own the Xbox only to play Call of Duty. So that would be the, you know, maybe they're not, there's no real war for them or decision.
True. Two sales I'm keeping an eye on though.
Okay.
Mass Effect. I want to see how well Mass Effect 2 sold on PS3.
Yeah.
A little disappointed with how many people on my list are playing it.
Really? I was impressed last night. There were a ton of people playing
really?
It.
Really? I've only seen like three at a time.
Oh, okay.
You know, which I'm only, people playing Little Big Planet, which is
I've fun. Almost downloaded it. I tell you what, there was a concern that I might not get it downloaded by Mass Effect 3's launch. Now, heads up, before Jeff Rubenstein writes me an email, I know it's because of my own personal internet connection, not the PlayStation Network. Mm. Chill the F out.
My shit's flying here. Yeah, when I was downloading like spare parts yesterday.
Oh, yeah. At work, we have great
internet. Oh, my God. At home, yeah. It's bad for me, too.
Yeah.
And the other sales I'm interested in is Dead Space 2. When that game comes out, I want to see how it does on the platforms.
I'm excited for Little Big Planet 2. I want to see every game that came out this month. It's going to be an interesting month. How did DC Universe Online sell? A lot of people were twittering me. Kids, people in the office were coming up talking to me, saying they couldn't find it in stores over the weekend. Like it was sold out. It wasn't there. Yeah, get it. That's crazy.
Hey, we gonna get any copies of that little Big Planet's dose?
Yeah, I have asked Sony for many copies, you know it's a popular game, so they say they can't get it. Meanwhile, DC Universe, the game that's sold out everywhere, they've sent about 2 dozen copies, okay. And I keep requesting more.
All
so
right. Excellent.
We'll see what happens. You guys are on the list now for DC.
Cool.
Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm
gonna make a hero.
I'm gonna see what I can do.
Mind Sucker.
That's good. I like that one.
And he sucks minds.
I'm gonna make a villain called Colin.
All right, play on Redemption to be part of the IGN Super Pals.
Yeah.
Colin, take your villain to Countdown to play as part of the IGN Super Jerks.
Okay.
Yeah, you can also
get Super Jerks.
You can request if you're a hero on Redemption, you can find Taylor Swift when she signs on and message her. If you're a villain, you can find my villain Jim Riley. Yes, Greg Miller plays as Jim Riley on the villain server.
Yeah, I saw that. I actually saw a tweet or something about it. I was like, it was your message on PlayStation Network, and I was looking at what you were playing. Yeah. And it was that
Jim Riley. Yeah, I changed it to whatever character
Jim was. I thought maybe Jim was logged in as you.
It is mind-boggling to people because I was playing with Scott Lowe and I had been texting him what was going to happen. I'm like, oh, the mics might not work. And so I got there and I ran up to him and I'm like, oh, what's up? The mics aren't working. And he replies, yeah, Greg said blah blah blah. And I'm like, no, I'm Greg. I'm playing as Jim Riley. And then it was just all caps. Ah! And then some other kid was. I was trying to start the league, and I was starting it up, and I was like, "Do you like IGN? Because I need you to be in this." He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, oh, "Great, perfect." So I invite him. And then he right back. Oh my God, are you Jim Riley? And I'm like, "No, I'm actually Greg Miller, also from IGN." It's confusing.
Real quick, I don't want to go to a tangent, but this just reminded me.
Conversational podcast.
I probably should have mentioned it earlier. Well, the first thing has nothing to do with what I was going to say was that I have a sweet new Dr. Wily icon, so I want you to check that one
Ooh.
Out because that's pretty cool. I actually had to buy it.
Oh, okay. On PlayStation Network.
Yeah, it's PlayStation Plus only, so
people can
the store.
Find you where?
Moriarty-IGN.
There you go.
And the other thing I wanted to say, and this is related to where people can find me, I did see one, and I don't remember who it was, and it kind of got lost in the mix, but I did see one person clearly playing a homebrew game on my list doing a homebrew thing because it shows up. You know, on your
it say homebrew?
No, it says like it was like something I never heard of.
Illegal.
And
stop
I don't know
man.
What it was. I don't remember. Like I like woke up, was playing Tetris, and I just saw it, and I didn't even think about it. And I was like, "What the hell was that?"
Yeah. Yeah.
So clearly, it was like because I know that the rumor is that you can play like an SNES emulator, and it actually tells you like what game on the SNES you're playing and stuff like that. So like they're getting pretty ballsy. If I see anyone on my list playing that shit, you're getting deleted. And I don't want to threaten, but Greg has some Sony connections. I might just throw your name at Greg and have you banned.
Whoa!
So I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to see anyone playing that stuff on my list. If Colin's you're going to, you might as well unfriend me.
Colin's policing.
Just don't.
Absolute power, correct? Absolutely.
I totally approve.
Your friend wouldn't. Your friend who's always messaging you. Let me get this straight. They take out the Linux, and then when I use the Linux, they boot me.
I think Grant is more referring to principal.
Okay.
But I do yell at him for those issues on occasion.
All right.
He knows.
All right. Possibly the biggest story of the week.
Mm.
PlayStation Move Heroes now has an official release
yep.
date, March 22nd.
Oh,
not too far away. We could all play it together and then get somebody else.
You didn't talk about the announcement of Final Fantasy XIII, the sequel.
Well, I wasn't done with the Roper report.
You said the biggest news of the week.
Yeah.
Did that happen this week?
It clearly wasn't the biggest news of the week.
Did that happen this week?
But I didn't have it on the sheet, so you're right.
This week.
You saved us, Ryan.
Oh, okay.
So now tell me all about this. Final Fantasy XIII.
We talked about this last week, but...
We did?
Last week we talked about the fact that a domain was registered.
Oh, right.
Now it's official. People have seen it.
Yeah. That's why I didn't include it.
Tell me about it, Ryan.
There, you can watch the teaser trailer on the PlayStation blog, actually.
Yeah.
Or maybe IGN if we get it.
Yeah, did you talk to Square about that?
I forgot.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem.
Anyway, it looks. Here's what I predict. It's going to be a sequel that probably will follow Lightning, just like the, you know, the first
She's game. In it, right? Like she. I read a Noop's article or whatever. Is it her or somebody else?
Lightning.
I'm sorry. They all run together. Okay.
Yes. Lightning. It was the arguably the main character of 13, even though you control all six.
So she was the guy really with the chocobo in her hair.
What? No. What?
No, that's she was not the main character.
She was the Terror Tier lock, as it were.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, I'm so confused. All right. The sequel is going to follow her. It takes place after Final Fantasy 13, and it will. Here's what I predict is I feel like it's going to be maybe a somewhat more lighthearted take on it like 10-2 was.
Okay.
And because Lightning is wearing this ridiculous like night outfit with a giant slit up the side of her leg,
yes,
which is very lovely, I must add. Mm-hmm. I kind of have the feeling that it's going to be job, maybe it'll be job class based again like they did with 10-2, which I actually 10-2 is sort of like an in-joke with Final Fantasy fans because it's everybody knows that it's kind of silly. It's ridiculous. The plot was like, you know, whatever. It's all the girls transforming and stuff. But it was a lot of fun. It was still fun. And seeing like the girls do these awesome transformation scenes and then they get the swords or they get the guns out and they're riding around on flower petals. And, you know, can't go wrong with that.
Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah?
Will Final Fantasy 13-2 be good?
Potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe if we don't have to run down one path for 40 hours. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you, in 13, when I finally got to the open world, I was like, well, this isn't a lot better, but I already hate this game.
Because, I've come this far, and I despise everything that's happening.
It had its problems.
I'm still, I'm a little disappointed that they're using their resources to make this game. I understand, because I'm just... Where is the Final Fantasy VII remake, man? You know, like, where's the Final Fantasy VI remake?
Oh, hold on, though. VII remake is because the team that would want to do it is, like, working on, like, two or three games right now. Like, Nomura is completely dedicated to that Versus 13 mm-hmm. game, the dark action game. Once that's done, I think they will be more likely to tackle a VII remake.
Yeah, I'm just this. I mean, I'm not that I'm a huge VII fan, but it would just be nice to finally just do it. You know, like, people have been talking about it since the late 90s. It's like... You know, when PlayStation 2 was coming out, everyone was like, oh, is they going to remake Final Fantasy 7 maybe? And you know. So I don't know. I would be excited about it. And obviously, I'd love to see 6. They haven't touched 6 at all. You know, at all. All
right. Oh, hold on, though. Would we want 6 to be remade?
Yeah. I mean, they don't have to. Like, I liked, you know, it's not the – like, playing Final Fantasy 4, for instance, on DS is not the same as playing it on Super Nintendo, obviously,
right,
or the GBA remake or whatever, or the GBA port.
Right.
But it's cool. You know, it's just cool to play it in like a kind of flimsy 3D world and stuff like that. Just giving some love to that world is great because that really is arguably the best RPG of all time. And it's really strange.
Four?
Six.
Oh, six.
Sorry, I should be clear.
Yeah.
Four is great too.
Yeah.
It's just, isn't it strange? I mean, like that's really the cult favorite. I mean, everyone loves seven, but everyone really loves six. And it's like, it's almost like they're scared, you know?
Don't forget more the PSP news that came out that I wrote up today, this morning rather.
I didn't see any PSP news.
Official Dewey Deckham is.
Oh, Dukakum.
Dukakum.
Dukakum got a release date.
When's Dukakum coming out? Final Fantasy.
Uh oh.
Dukakum X squared.
Yeah. So the next Dissidia
trademark
game, Dissidia 012, which is just Duodecum. It's just 12. Duodecum, I think, is Latin for like 12
Dukakum.
Or whatever. Not Dukakum. But it is Dukakum. the next Dissidia. So this is the hilarious thing. I wrote up this story and I already forgot what the date was, but
okay.
I'm like 90% positive it's March 22nd.
Oh, it's going head to head with PlayStation Move Heroes.
Better watch out.
Bad news.
Better watch out.
Bad news.
If it's not, I'm beyond nation. I'm very sorry. But
look at IGN.com. You'll figure it out.
The story is on IGN right now.
All right.
So just go read it.
Final story of the week. Killzone 3. You buy Killzone 3. You get early access to the SOCOM 4 beta. How about that, huh?
Beyond.
All thanks to Chris Roper, I bet. Chris Roper and Jeremy Dunn were over there. Like, what are you? What was that?
Farting on Killzone or the SOCOM?
I
guess I just don't. I'm not going to fart on SOCOM. It's just rather I just don't really have any interest in it. It's not my kind of shooter.
Have you played it?
No,
I played it, and I am actually excited.
Yeah,
for it.
I mean it. I'm not gonna. It might be an awesome game. It's just for
it's
some
not your
reason.
Thing. I gotcha.
Yeah, I actually have a hard time playing military shooters that don't have like either a slight fantasy edge or a slight sci-fi edge.
That's my problem with
if it's just straight like this is it's combat. I'm like, I could just join the army for this.
No, sure, man.
That's not, no.
On that.
You. That is not me insulting the army at all. Cause...
On joining the army thing, mm-hmm. We actually have an email here.
Oh, okay.
It's a bit sad, so I don't know why I'm smiling, but okay. It's sad. So everybody okay. Stick with me, but it's about SOCOM 4. Remember, if you want to be part of the conversational podcast, have your emails included in regular conversation and ask us questions, it's beyond@IGN.com, just like Ben did here. Ben sent an email to beyond@IGN. 3 years ago, I was driving home from a restaurant with my wife and two daughters.
Why are you laughing?
What is happening?
I'm getting there. All right. All of a sudden, our car was hit by a drunk driver.
What the?
Dude, this better not.
My leg got broken and my family was killed.
And his family was what?
Killed. Okay. The man went to prison and I spent 3 years thinking about him and the different ways that night could have ended. I learned last week that he'd be getting out of jail early. I decided to go see him when he got out, confront him. I went to meet him and saw him leaving the building. I walked up to him, looked him in the eye, and said, if I wanted to know what games are coming out next week, where can I go to find out? When I read that, I knew I wouldn't be able to get through it with a straight face, and then that just became more of the joke.
That's funny. You go to the official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN
editors. Inappropriate!
What? That's funny.
Yeah.
Now the reader's in on the joke. Yeah. The listener's in on the joke.
I was a little weird. I was
You're
weirded
like,
out for a second.
By a drunk driver.
So nothing on PS2, nothing on PSP.
Okay.
Three games on the PlayStation 3 though. Mind Jack.
Probably not going to buy it.
Tristan gave it a 4.0.
How are the trophies?
That's a good question.
Was that in there? Okay.
That's a good question.
I'll ask Tristan later.
Yeah. That's a really good question, actually. I've been kind of not trophy hunting at all, like the last month and a half or so, because I'm fucking addicted to Tetris, bro. Yeah. It's like really sad how much I just play. I go home. Even my girlfriend's like, "What the hell are you doing?" You know. Like I just sit. I go home. I eat dinner. And I just sit on my bed for like 2.5 hours a night, and I just play. I play Attack on nice. Tetris. It's awesome. I rock at it too. Little Big Planet 2, 9.0.
Boom.
Greg.
Boom.
Yeah.
And Mass Effect 2, 9.5 from me. Pretty good. Well, Mind Jack's obviously not a very good game. Little Big Planet 2, Mass Effect 2, very compelling.
Very compelling.
That's all we got, though. All
right. What came to the PlayStation Network on Tuesday there, Ryan?
Actually, can you guys, like, draw it out real quick?
Sure.
Talk about something.
I know that Mass Effect 2 came to the PlayStation Network.
Mm-hmm.
Came on a disc, came to the store.
Yeah.
Same day. How effing crazy is that, Colin?
It is crazy. Now, but it's the same price, isn't it? But then I saw something. I thought I saw. I could be making this up. I thought I saw something on the blog where you can get a discount if you put in a code or something like that. Like, no, I gotta look that up.
Okay.
I could be lying about that, but I'm pretty sure I saw that.
Greg wrote into beyond@IGN.com about this very fact. He has a scary tale for you here of how, you know, it's not perfect, this new world we live in of digital entertainment. Mm. I just got home. He sent this on Tuesday. I just got home with my copy of Mass Effect, and I eagerly popped it into my PS3. After the install, I went to activate my Cerberus network code, and lo and behold, the code is invalid. I contacted EA, and they said that I would have to wait for the game's release before activating the code. I asked that it was obviously launch day. I bought my copy in a store. Why aren't the codes active? They said they wouldn't be active until about 10:30 tonight. I almost took the day off to play. I know it's only one day, but can you imagine not being able to play DC Universe, Greg? That's the problem. People, listeners here on Beyond, little secret. We talked about this last week. Mm. Remember, anytime you get a code before a game's launch or something, it's not going to go live until usually that Tuesday when they update the PlayStation Store.
Which happens ridiculously late at night.
It's totally late lately. It used to be 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Now it's more like 6 in the evening.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's
Pacific
going on
Standard
there.
Time.
Yeah.
That's
so, yeah,
9
you're
o'clock
on the East
New
Coast.
York. Yeah.
But at the same time, he's kind of I understand where he's coming from in a way, but I played through Mass Effect 2 on PlayStation 3. I wasn't able to get on Cerberus Network because the game wasn't live yet.
Yeah.
You can play it and beat it and do basically everything
but
in the game.
If you buy the game, you want to do the comic. You want to get the choices. You want to go from there.
But let's not be too dramatic about it. He could still play the game.
It's a cautionary tale for people with these download codes. Ryan, what else could I have downloaded?
So we talked about Mass Effect 2 already.
We did.
And I believe some of us, including Colin Moriarty, are playing or tried to play Spare Parts.
Yeah, I'm reviewing it with Christine. I'm actually reviewing it with Christine.
She's reviewing it too?
Yeah, we're reviewing it together.
How's that working?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Okay.
Well, we have to play it still. So.
IGN?
Here we go. Quite possibly Colin and I's favorite launch of this week. Modern Combat Domination.
So
nice.
Good.
Nice.
It's a,
is that from Game Loft?
I don't know. But I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't, that wouldn't surprise me. Mm. That's what I was trying to say. It just amazes me already. We have like the, you know, Little Big Planet 2 DLC and stuff coming out. That's fun. Just little things like T-shirts, fun little cute faces and such. Anyway, PS1 classic, Metal Slug X.
Real quick, you're clear. I didn't say I don't care to you, correct?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I took off my hat. I have bad hat hair, but I don't care. I was
watching you. Okay. I was trying.
My apologies, everyone. I care very much about Little Big Planet.
PS1 classic imports, Mega Man.
Mega Man.
Yeah, Rock I beat it Man. Last. I beat it they last. Should say Rockman, because that's what the name of the game is, but no one would know what Rockman is.
It is Rockman in the game because it's unedited. Exactly. You want to talk about cautionary tales? Keep an eye out for the article I'm writing about these Japanese imports.
Going up today on PlayStation?
I hope so.
All right, PC.IGN.com.
If not today, definitely tomorrow, but I think today.
Yeah, just read IGN every day.
Yeah, why don't you just read it every day?
Every day.
Also, just real quick, for any Mega Man nerds out there, I was surprised by one thing. There's a glitch in Mega Man, a really famous glitch in the original Mega Man, where this is the only Mega Man game where you can pause it, like actually pause the game. If you hit select over and over again on the NES controller when you launch the Elec Beam, it hits an enemy or whatever, it reactivates every time you unpause and pause the game, like once you let it go like a frame, so you can hit the same enemy over and over again, and you can use that with one beam and basically just pause the game over and over again, and then it hits him constantly. So you can use this on really difficult enemies, including Wily at the end and stuff like that, and it's in the PlayStation version of the game, because I was like, well, I'll just try it, and it worked, and so I just destroyed the game in like a half an hour last night. It was great.
Neat. Right. I have no idea what you're talking about. But
it's weird. It's just a weird glitch.
I get it.
You understand.
Here's a little interesting tidbit, which I was surprised to see. The soundtrack for Super Stardust HD is available to download now. Okay. It doesn't give a price here, so I don't know if it's free or not, but I love the music in that game. It's totally awesome music, so you should check that out. And then for the PSP, the downloadable games are Alpha Mission 2, Art of Fighting.
These are all the Neo Geo games.
Yeah, these are all the Neo Geo games. Baseball Stars Professional League Bowling, Magician Lord, Super Sidekicks, King of Fighters 94. Goodness.
You want to know what Greg Miller's looking for here on the PlayStation Network?
What's that?
Where the hell is Back to the Future Episode 1?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Come on now. It came out last week of December for PC. I want it now.
Yeah, soon, I imagine.
Gentlemen, we got some minis.
I saw that.
Jeff Rubin, son of the wife, hard at work on these guys. Every night they go home.
And their little baby.
They get in the C++ and they plug out this game.
C++.
They plug it out, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how you make a game.
In terms of PSP minis for this week, we have Pipe Madness for $3.99, of course. 5-in-1 Solitaire. Don't really get that.
Got to be 99 cents, right?
$2.99.
Why getting this five is, games
this
in
is,
one?
Yeah, this is guess the price for the minis.
I already know I'm not going to play.
Karamogi.
$1.99.
$2.99.
Jesus.
And, of course, probably the best of all of them, Shift Extended.
$2.99.
$3.99.
Damn it! Come on!
Still, Space Shooter for $2.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's shit.
While we're on the subject here of, you know, downloads and whatnot, some readers like yourself out there got the collector's edition of Little Big Planet 2, which comes with a whole bunch of costumes and avatars and a whole bunch of sweet stuff digitally. For some reason, I guess some people got two voucher codes. So a whole bunch of listeners wrote in, gave you these things. You'll get the animal costumes, the Clue from Tron, Gonzo from the Muppets. Good stuff here. Good stuff for your Little Big Planet stuff. So
the Clue and the Muppets.
I got three codes for you. 942M, 6BNP, 3B2H, BBRM, GCN7, 8GEC, 93Q3, E4NBDRLE.
Oh!
Go enjoy some Little Big Planet.
Was that all of them?
Yeah, that's all of them.
I was going to ask you to read each of them in a different accent. next time.
Go enjoy all those there in Little Big Planet 2 and make sure you play my levels. I'm Game Over Greggy. You can go to lbp.me and access my levels that way, along with the other people. Make sure you also submit your levels to beyond@ign.com so we can start up Little Big Planet Level Lovers Anonymous and get the best content up.
Programming note, friend. You're going to have to leave in about 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Sadly.
Oh, my
goodness.
We've
been recording for about a half an hour, though.
Oh, my goodness. It's been a good show already.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we move on to like what has come out, I just want to – PlayStation Plus is going to upgrade reboot next week or whatever, and Critter Crunch will be free. So, or not Critter Crunch. I'm sorry. Digger HD.
Okay.
Digger HD.
Hard game. Tried to play that. Got about 5 minutes in.
Yeah, it's
like,
a tough game.
Done. See it.
So if for some reason you're going to buy Digger HD.
Hold off.
And you can get it next week.
If you're a PlayStation Plus.
If you're PlayStation Plus. If not, go ahead and buy it.
Colin.
Yeah.
Pick of the week.
Pick of the week.
Mass Effect or Little Big Planet 2.
Or Mega Man.
Ooh, man.
You didn't even like Mega Man. It's in Japanese.
I would give the original Mega Man an 8.
Okay. Colin. Clement, sorry.
You're even looking at me.
I don't even know.
Here's the problem. If I was like choosing which game I like better, I might choose Mass Effect.
Yeah.
But So now that I beat it on the 360.
Yeah, right.
So I would probably pick Little Big Planet.
Yeah. Colin?
Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say if you haven't played Mass Effect yet, just get
Mass Effect 2 is an amazing game.
Yeah.
Game of the year here at IGN.
Yes.
For the PS or the 360 version, game of the year for 2010. Right. Yes.
Yes,
it's 2011.
Correct.
Little Big Planet 2, though, is obviously an amazing video game as well. And so you really can't go wrong.
That's a good week.
Personally, I would pick Little Big Planet 2, but it's just because I've beaten Mass Effect. If I hadn't played Mass Effect, I would get on Mass Effect. Get on that train, I think.
I'm going to try to get that plat, but I don't know.
Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with it.
It's a good game.
It's a great game.
A lot of shooting, a lot of talking, a lot of beautiful alien ladies. It's a romance in intergalactic space.
Oh, hell yeah.
I guess space is intergalactic.
Yeah, so that's actually not intergalactic because you're not leaving the galaxy.
Yeah, that's
intergalactic
true.
Space is space in between galaxies.
Space yeah. between spaces.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Indiana Jones.
All right.
Fine film.
Topic of the week is just an extended reader mail because we had so many good questions. I want to get Ryan's opinions on a couple of these before these. Max writes in. He wrote into beyond@ign.com just like anybody can. He said, "We all know there are great games coming out for the PS3 this year, but regardless whether or not you're excited about it, which PS3 game do you guys think will get the highest review score of 2011?
Uncharted.
Think so?
Probably.
Okay.
The Last Guardian. Comes out.
Interesting. Uncharted's a good pick, I think. And he says, what PS3 game? Not exclusive. So I think Mass Effect 3 would have a really good chance to. Mm-hmm. I imagine that's going to do very well. Mm-hmm. But who knows? We don't know about these games. Ryan.
Yes.
Steven writes in. He says, to Ryan.
Yes.
As I know you are an anime fan, how often do you watch anime? What are your current favorites? Ooh. I personally think Code Geass is great and is a series that you would enjoy thoroughly.
Yes. I've heard of it. Haven't seen it.
Okay.
So I should check that out at some point.
Did I mispronounce it?
I think it's just Code Geass or Code Geass.
Geass?
Yeah.
Like Arthur
It's
Geass?
Like Arthur. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I am sad to admit that I don't have a lot of time to watch anime just currently
because
I've been so busy. But it is probably one of my greatest passions besides video games. So it is always on the back of my mind. I would say that I am currently still trying to slowly make my way through the second season of The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, which is a show.
I bet it is.
And so that it's brilliant anime. One of the best. I saw over the break. I saw the Haruhi movie. It's like a feature length film that came in between the seasons. So
okay,
it was good stuff. And I guess I should probably go upstairs.
This is it. This is your breaking point.
Is there any other questions addressed specifically to me?
Oh, there's one here.
I'm ready.
It's from Jose. It's your final one.
Jose.
On episode 75, Greg said that in every 52 episodes, he would spank Ryan.
Yeah.
Since episode 156 was spanking free, how about you guys get to business and pay up?
All right.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm glad I didn't have like a sharp object.
Why was I sitting on this bed of nails?
Was that for discipline or for love, by the way?
It was love.
A little bit of both, I'd say.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
All right, well, thanks, guys.
No problem.
I'm sorry I have to leave.
No, it's okay.
Enjoy the rest
of the
show.
What are we at here?
We got 36 minutes here.
If you want to send somebody down, feel free.
Okay.
Ask around any of the editors. Anybody wants to come down.
Sounds good. I'll just leave my headset over here.
That sounds like a plan.
All right. Bye, Beyond.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, Colin.
Mm-hmm.
Down to business.
Yeah.
Mainly about you.
No.
Paul Logan Jr. wrote in.
Christ.
He was not happy with you.
No?
He says, Colin.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Dean's Furniture commercials of the 90s.
Yeah. All right. So we got these responses. Some people
explain what they're even responding.
Okay,
to.
Okay. So last week I said, I doubt it.
I doubt it. And then you said,
"Can
anybody want to write in and tell me where?"
Yeah, going? Because it's kind of an obscure Northeast thing. Now, just to put it in context, the guy, a person would appear on TV and would be like, "Can you match the price of my 2-seed sectional and love seat?" I doubt it. That's how he would say it. Or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a furniture store. Now, what I know it from is Bob's Discount Furniture. Now, I don't know if it's the same as Dean's Furniture.
Okay.
I imagine it must be. I mean, they can't be two furniture stores in the Northeast.
It's the same catchphrase.
They have the same catchphrase.
They argue about it all the time.
So, I know it from Bob's, and that's from living in Massachusetts, but...
Spirit of Massachusetts.
But, yeah, he could be right. So, yeah, thanks to all the people that wrote in. I thought it was funny. I love saying I doubt it, but no one has... And I say it every once in a while here, but no one has any idea what the hell I'm talking about. So.
Colin, we're going to go on a Colin Riff here for a second.
Oh, okay.
Theo writes in. Theo.
Theo.
Says, I've been thinking about buying Mega Man 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Where can I go to find all the guides and review for the best games on all three platforms? Joking, but I would like to know which one's better. The answer's simple. 10. Trophies.
Yeah, ten trophies. 10 trophies are really hard, though.
Yes, you're not going to get them probably. But at least you have something to try.
I got them all but one, but I mean that took a lot of time. The only one I didn't get, you have to. the trophy I didn't get was to beat the game without getting hit.
Oh, the game without getting hit?
Yeah, without getting damaged.
Did you try?
No.
Okay.
I beat the game without dying. Beat the game without continuing. I mean that's not hard for a Mega Man fan. I actually think 9's probably the better game, but they're both pretty good, and they're both I think $5. So I don't see so I don't see why you just wouldn't buy both of them.
Okay. Colin,
yeah,
back to you, kind of. Okay. Last week, we decided we were going to give away some headphones. Some sick headphones from the Astro Gaming folks.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
It was an A30 headset, which had the Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker tags, which you can replace if you wanted to, but you don't want to because they're awesome.
Right.
It had the wireless mix amp. So basically, you plug it into your system, you get surround sound through your headphones, you can walk around with it, you can also chat with it because we were giving you the PS3 device. The question was, on which show, which podcast beyond, did Colin Moriarty debut on? Lots of guesses, lots of hilarious ones. A lot of people pegging you at 99.
Right.
And then my favorite being, that was episode 170. Someone said episode 169 because that's when I started listening.
Fair enough.
Thought that was good. The real answer, though... was sent in by Paul Wynn. It's episode 62.
Yep.
When Colin came on to do the readings from the Rapture review guide.
Fracture.
Fracture. They all rhyme. Sorry.
I knew that's what we were talking about kind of like illicitly. Oh, it's Brian Altano.
Yeah, Brian Altano. Good. Your headset's over here. Over on the old Ryan chair. Everybody, Brian Altano is joining Podcast Beyond for the first time. So now, in 100 and some episodes, I'm going to ask the question of, what episode did Brian Altano debut on? And this will be at 171.
Get your pen and paper out.
Also, the last episode that I'll ever be on.
No, that's not true.
What's up, guys?
Hey, welcome.
How you doing?
What's good in Sony land?
Nothing. Colin's explaining. we just gave away an Astro headset and a wireless mix amp thing, and Colin's explaining the answer. Because it was, when did he start on the show? And on episode 62, Colin showed up and did a readings from the Fracture review guide. That was it.
But episode 99 is a good answer. That was the first episode I was on regularly, I suppose.
On point.
On point, yeah. On point. So, welcome. Well, we're just doing
Thanks
reader
for
mail.
Having me.
We're just
Brian,
doing reader mail now.
Yo.
Explain to people who the hell you are.
I am a features editor at IGN, so all the big, bloated, funny stuff that comes through the pipeline, I'm responsible for.
Okay.
So I wrangle up people and force them to do awful things.
Mm-hmm. You've done a lot of good stuff. You did you were helping out and did the layout for the games we're addicted to, right? Or what,
yes, I did.
Addiction stories? I loved that one.
That was, yeah, that was a good one.
Thank you.
That was really, really good.
Nice
idea. I mean, I think our readers need to identify with us a little more because, you know, we're just like them. We play video games all day and, well, they don't play video games all day.
Yeah. If they could, they would.
If they could, they would. Yeah, and they'd all be horribly addicted to them. So, you know, we're not this IGN thing. A lot of people think IGN's this big nebulous robot. It shoots at review scores.
That's
but
just Solius.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Solius does that. That's true.
We're a bunch of individual robots that shoot at
created by
scores.
Dr. Wiley.
Yes.
Speaking of nerds,
yeah,
we're all the same. Garrett writes in and says, "Hey guys, just wanted to say thanks for the awesome podcast. Tell Colin that I watched Darkon on Netflix the other day with my girlfriend, and we laughed so hard we were crying about the two countries' leaders that were bitching at each other over their wars. It is honestly, without a doubt, the weirdest, nerdiest thing I've ever seen and entertaining to
watch." I told you guys gotta watch Darkon, man.
Have you seen it?
No, I've heard good things.
It's on Instant Watch. It is
so
awesome. It's
so
good. Yeah,
it really is. If you haven't watched Darkon yet.
My
is it something I can trick my girlfriend into watching?
Totally. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Simer watched it, yeah. And she hates documentaries, but it's just, yeah, people live action role playing and being totally goofy about it.
That's
my favorite
ridiculous.
Is just the dude who's like, you know, he's the one at the end who leads the battle. He used to be in the group. But he has like a wife and kids at home, and he's totally ignoring them to make his shield and just duct tape it up.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, at his kitchen table, I create it. But my favorite part, though, is that they agree to meet at like a
Citadel of Peace.
Yeah, the Citadel of Peace. It's like this fictional place. And
they've made it of like the wood structure and then like put like crate paper and cardboard and like paper to make it
they
look like
made
a castle.
It was like big, and there's like, and it so they have archers like shooting off of it, and people are like rushing
Jesus.
It, and then they capture it and burn it down.
Yeah. This thing they worked all day to build. Yeah, they just sit there. And burn
are they
it.
All based in reality? Like, could I just show up dressed as a dragon or something, or like, what about like a unicorn? Would they be like, that's fictitious? That's, you're not allowed to have things.
They don't play
a
character when
realm.
They're doing it. So I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, there might be like there's countries, and I think you have to join one of them, and then there are rules or whatever. Because what they were talking, there was one kid that was saying like, I showed up in cardboard armor,
yeah,
and they kept assassinating me, and they told me like like you're not like it's they take it real. You have to wear like chainmail,
yeah, yeah,
you know? And like walls.
But it's like it's like I always enjoy like you'll see it once in a while, but like when the people do like the Renaissance reenactments or whatever, people who show up as Trekkies, Yeah. Like they got beamed there by accident. They're like walking around and talking.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking like we should crash one like as time travelers.
Yeah, yeah. You know, rolling like, in the DeLorean.
Yeah, we'll show up in the DeLorean and we'll come with like future laser guns, like time cops.
Be awesome.
We'll
and be just like, take all the whole map.
Yeah, just take over and be like, this was the part in your history that you haven't learned to reverse in time yet.
Ozzy writes in. He says, IGN recently gave the Game of the Year award to Mass Effect 2, which was well-deserved. Yet it seems every other gaming site, myself included, Ozzy's a gaming site, feels Red Dead Redemption was universally agreed upon as Game of the Year 2010. I was wondering if you each could tell me one reason you believe Mass Effect 2 is a superior game of Red Dead Redemption.
Storyline.
Yeah. The fact, like, don't get me wrong, Red Dead is awesome, and I loved Red Dead, and it deserves all the accolades it gets. I burned out in Mexico, dude. That game's pacing was so, like, so rough, and, like, it was just more of the same. I put it down for, I think it was a good 4 months before I came back to actually beat
it. A lot of people did. Yeah. That was really the stopgap for a lot of people right there.
Yeah, it was just like, how close am I? And, like, I looked at my clock, it's like 20 hours. I'm like, Jesus Christ, no. Like, whereas Mass Effect, also a long game, but, like, I was so engaged. Every world was different. The storylines, like, you know, when you're going after Jacob's father, that's an awesome mission. Like, that is so great. It's like those touchstone moments I can pull out.
I agree. I don't want to take anything away from Red Dead. Red Dead was an awesome one, definitely one of the best games of the year.
Yeah.
It is tedious. I mean, try writing the guide for it.
I voted for Heavy Rain.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved Heavy Rain too. Heavy
PlayStation
Rain
3.
You're good. You're
Heavy,
good
Heavy Rain was fantastic.
You're in good company here.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those games that, like, you know, it's those rare times where you can sit down in like a weekend and be like, start one session and start another session and game is over and just be like, wow.
Yeah,
I think the people that played that game wrong were the ones that played it for 15 minutes at a time.
Totally. Like, yeah, there's lots of people upstairs who did that. Oh, I got through the showering scene. I was kind of bored. It's like, are you kidding me? Like,
it's all about the pacing and like,
yeah. Because once it ramps up, it ramps up. Yeah.
And also, I had a feeling though. I mean, Heavy Rain had one of the things, and I know Mass Effect skirted this, but a lot of times a game comes out kind of early-ish in the year, everyone forgets about it by November.
Yeah. That happened, I think, to Killzone.
Oh yeah.
In 2009.
Yeah.
People just kind of forgot.
Even God of War this year.
Yeah.
People forgot about God of War. Yeah. So.
What happened the year Resident Evil 4 came out? I forget what we voted for.
Was that Okami year? We weren't. None of us were here yet.
That was early.
I guess you might have been.
What was that? 2005?
Yeah, sounds like
something
it.
Like I was an intern in 2004.
Because that came out in what, like February or something.
Yeah, that was an early.
No one remembered it by the end of the year.
Yeah, what the hell won in 2005? Oh, San Andreas came out in 2005, didn't? No, that came out in 2004 too.
Somebody's yelling at their TV or their iPod right now. I hate that.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell it is.
We don't care.
Yeah.
Carlos writes in. He says, "I just wanted to ask each of you, if you could live in one fictional city from a video game, obviously, what would it be and why?" Carlos says, "I personally would love to live in Ethstar, Final Fantasy VIII, because I love technology and everything seems to be high tech everywhere you look." I never want to live in a Final Fantasy world. I don't want to play soccer underwater.
I never want to live in any video game city. This question always comes up. What are you going to do? Like, you're going to just eat the same three foods that they have there? You're not going to go to job. You can't go in any of the buildings. There's two different types of people in the whole game. You go to, like, a soccer match and you see 40 of yourself wearing the same T-shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
a bit much.
I hear you.
Like,
are you gonna
live in Mario World?
Hyrule. Ocarina of Time before, you know, the zombies.
Before the apocalypse.
Spoilers if you're waiting for Ocarina of Time on 3DS.
Jesus Christ. You can't spoil that game. I don't know.
Tetris.
I'd live in Tetris. No doubt about it.
I was trying to
no
fit your long piece into a slim hole.
No doubt about it.
Whoa.
What's that?
What? Yeah. Nothing. Don't worry. Hey, my name is Warner Gardner, and this has nothing to do about video games, but I thought it'd be funny to put on the podcast. According to statistics, more humans get killed by donkeys in a year than an airplane.
Nice.
I can't back that up. I didn't check on that, Warner.
You can't
substantiate I'd like to think. Warner also says, "I got your T-shirt about a month ago, and we'll send a picture next week." Thank you, Warren. It seems a whole bunch of people got their Podcast Beyond shirts. Remember, if you buy the Podcast Beyond shirt that's sometimes on Cafe Press, send in a photo of yourself wearing, you get added to the wall, and you could join the new recruits such as Lars Eric Bracken. That's one person. Travis Oakes, who sent in a photo of him playing Rock Band with his kids. Ricardo Munoz, who sent in – he went the specialty route. As everybody remembers last week, Andrew Goldfarb sent in a shirt of him in a green Beyond shirt. Ricardo sent in a blue Beyond shirt, which I actually think looks pretty good. And then my favorite of the week, Eric Slovovich.
Slovovich,
sure. I don't know. Should have changed your last name when you got here if you wanted Greg Miller to pronounce it right. Go back and tell your great-grandfather to change that to L's. Anyways, he sends in a photo of him holding up the DualShock 3 – with a chat pad attached to it. Other hand is the PSP Go. However, he's posing in front of his nightstand, it looks like. Three things of Old Spice deodorant on it. Eric, what is going on? You got three things of Old Spice deodorant.
He's OCD and he puts one on each armpit. The one that he uses on the right, he can't use on the left, et cetera,
so
and what, so on.
Third is the backup.
Where's the third pit?
Yeah.
You know what?
You don't want to know that.
You don't want to know that. All right.
Next.
Here we go. This is a good one, too. This is from Justin Das. He says, during the predictions podcast, Ryan was under the impression that Greg and Colin were going to review Infamous and give it a 9.5. Greg said that neither of them were going to do it because they couldn't keep an objective perspective. So my question is, doesn't it make sense for either Greg or Colin to review Infamous 2 since they really enjoyed the first Infamous and are big fans? It made sense that Greg reviewed Ghostbusters, the video game, and Colin reviews Mega Man games since they're real big fans. Just wondering, all the best, Justin. All right, Justin. So objectivity is a weird thing, right? Basically, we want to make sure that anyone who comes to IGN can read a review and know that they're getting an unbiased perspective.
Naturally.
When they released images for Infamous 2, Colin and I lost our fucking mind. And
it's an understatement.
Literally, I mean, I wrote articles about it. There's the Game Scoop where I am reacting to it. I literally just saw it 5 minutes before it, and I'm poring over it at the time. I went home that night and couldn't sleep. I laid in bed talking to Christine. I'm like, why would they change? Like, we liked it before. And like, it was at that moment that I couldn't sleep about a change they made in the game that I realized I had gone too far. Yeah. I had crossed that line. When I started getting gifts, like Christine got me, Migs made me that, NES throwback or Infamous. Like, I connect too much to that. Mm. The opposite side of the coin for Ghostbusters, why I still reviewed Ghostbusters, is because I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan for sure. I know that franchise backwards and forwards. It wasn't based on a video game franchise. You know what I mean? Like, I saw that game and previewed it, and I was like, yeah, this is the problem.
You weren't a fanboy of NES Ghostbusters, right?
No, well, I like Sega Master System. If they make a sequel to that, maybe I can't do it. But, you know, there's a line in the sand, right, of like, I never flipped my shit for Ghostbusters when they announced it or anything like that where I was like out of my mind, out of control, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, Infamous 2, they changed things, and I mean, I'm not putting down any other site. I think we probably are the site that had the most influence on them saying, maybe we should look into changing that.
I would say straight up that you guys got that changed. Straight up.
I mean, you figure we from the release of the first game, after we reviewed it and realized how much we liked it, we became the biggest fans of that game. And so
I love that game.
Yeah, it's a great game. Oh, game's awesome.
That's why I was kind of shocked that you guys got so upset over it, because I was like, so they're making a comic book game more comic booky? What's the problem?
It just doesn't look right.
I like the we ran this into the ground. We dedicated an entire episode to this. So
who will be reviewing it?
I don't know. It's up for grabs, kinda.
Yeah.
Colin, I know, isn't happy with the decision. I don't know if he agrees with it.
No, I understand where you're coming from.
Okay.
I mean, we had a similar conversation. Was it Justin or Jason? They're brothers.
Justin. Yeah.
They write it a lot. We just – because I was like, you know, I reviewed Mega Man 10, and I'm probably –
but again, you can be objective about
I understand. I'll probably end up reviewing Resistance or something like that. But we – you know – I understand what you're saying. I kind of agree with what Brian's saying, which is that we definitely had an influence.
Totally. And that's the problem.
Yeah, we can't – so I agree with what you're saying with Infamous, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we can remain objective with other things we love. I don't think that's hard to do.
The more, I guess, concise way to put this right is that we don't want you to have the impression that we're not being objective. Mm. Do I think you and I could review Infamous and not just give it a 9.5 automatically and be in love with it? Of course. I don't think I'm going to play Infamous and not be able to see the problems with it or what's wrong or how great it is or whatever.
I trust you guys.
The issue would be, though, I don't want some fan who already doesn't like IGN, has a bad taste in his mouth, knows how much we like it, to be like, well, I'm not going to listen to their review of it because I know how huge they are on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You figure we changed the character. I hosted the panel at San Diego Comic-Con about it, where I was the only person outside of the studio where they showed me they showed me a photo that they were changing the character. It's like,
yep.
I have too much influence on your game, I think, which is great. I love the fact that we're so hardcore about it that Sony and Sucker Punch know that, hey, we should talk to them about it. We should debut stuff with them. But when it comes to actually editorializing content and giving you a final verdict on how you should spend your money, I don't want it ever to be questioned. Should I trust IGN? Should I trust Greg?
I agree. And what I'd be most concerned about, just on the flip side, is like you say, giving it an automatic 9.5. Like, what if it is a perfect game and we give it a 10? Then you'll never trust it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, we can't touch that game. So someone like Ryan has to review it or someone like that. So.
Or, I mean, anybody who enjoyed it.
Either way, I think we can all agree it will be better than Prototype 2.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No one wanted that game.
No one wanted that game.
Don't they understand?
That's what I said when they first met. I was like, who asked for this?
Game
people
sucks.
That didn't play Infamous?
I hate that game. Yeah. I really do.
Because that game blew its load in the first 2 minutes.
Totally.
It was like the Superman movie where he's lifting a truck and a plane in the first minute, and by the end he's lifting a car. You're like, You already did the cool stuff in the beginning.
He lifted half a dead yacht, I'll have you know.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And I don't – like we said it over and over again, like that game might have looked better if not for Infamous coming out at the same time.
Yeah.
Because you got an example of a game doing it perfectly in a game basically not doing it at all.
Exactly, so. Yeah. Chris writes in, and this is an easy one. Just wondering when we can expect the Dead Space 2 review and who will be reviewing it. Thanks. Chris, the Dead Space 2 review posts exclusively on IGN.com tomorrow, Friday the 21st. There you go. I'll be reviewing it. I played through the game 2.5 times.
Did you get his haircut changed too?
No, that's why I'm reviewing it. I didn't change it all how Isaac looks.
His hair is too shaggy.
Schmitty writes in. Mm. Says, hey, Mr. Vitamin C, what does SWAG stand for? I had no idea it was an acronym. Thanks.
Stuff we all get. It could also stand for shit we all get, but it's stuff we all get.
Okay.
So stop saying swag. It's not a word that means what you think it means. Am I right?
Swag is what poor people called weed in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. It's not stuff we all get. Only stuff poor people get. Hey, Brian.
Yo.
Brian writes in with a question. I think you could answer it.
I think I wrote in.
What's happening? That'd be great. This is my question. Actually, answer it. What's worse? Hackers finally cracking the PS3 or Anne Hathaway cast as Catwoman in Dark Knight Rises? Peace out.
Oh, wow, that's a tough one.
It's not tough at all. Anne Hathaway's great.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love Anne Hathaway.
Okay, well, they have to not call her Catwoman then. If they just call her Selina Kyle, that's fine. But if it's like, she's the Catwoman and she's running around, it doesn't fit in Nolan's universe.
Good call.
The whole mask on and everything. But if they kind of do it tastefully. You know,
I don't mind the papers calling her Catwoman. I mean, when she.
I just wanted them to cast Benjamin Linus as the Riddler.
That would have been awesome, right? Yeah, Linus from Lost.
Right? Who were they talking about? They were talking about we talked about this, I think. The guy from Third Rock from the Sun, the kid.
Oh, right.
That was Cobra Commander in G.I. Joe.
Right.
And he was rumored to be, because they were working on Inception together.
Yeah. Well, they got that other Inception guy now to be Bane.
Which I'm totally not sold on either.
Really? Somebody showed me a photo yesterday, and he was all
kind of jacked
up. Yeah.
I wanted to see the Riddler. I wanted to see Freeze, too, because I think Mr. Freeze's character is cool. Everyone has Schwarzenegger embedded in their mind.
Uh-huh.
What would Nolan's universe look
totally
like with Freeze?
And that's where I think they get around Bane not being like Hulk Hogan or something.
Do you think
they're
going to do like the toxic steroid pumps in his back and everything? Because that's what Bane had. And I mean, I don't know if they'll be able to pull that off.
I mean, I think he'll be jacked up on Venom, but I don't think it'll be. I think it'll be more like a drug habit than it'll be like him actually walking
around.
Which
would actually be awesome.
Yeah. If it gives him super strength.
You have this drug addicted super strength guy beating the crap out of Batman.
Mm-hmm. How about Calendar Man?
Yeah.
I read up on him a little bit because he's in that game, right? The new game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
What an awful character.
Aaron writes in. Aaron says,
Secretary's Day.
Groundhog Day. Aaron says, with Dead Space 2's marketing ploy being about your mom's reaction to the game, that got me thinking, what are some games you would never want to play in front of your family? And what are some games you wanted to show how awesome they were? I think he's talking about when we were kids.
Oh.
What do you got for me, Brian?
Well, I was going to say, Heavy Rain is one of those games that you remember when you were a kid and like you would be watching a movie that only had 3 seconds of a sex scene, but your
mom
knew.
And that's when they'd walk in.
Exactly when they'd walk in.
Yeah.
I think Heavy Rain would be one of those things.
That was always my favorite part at events. They'd show Heavy Rain nonstop, and it would always be – you could always see people getting awkward when they got to the showering scene with Madison.
Exactly.
They'd be like,
I told you that when we went behind closed doors or whatever at E3 last year, and they had Heavy Rain on the move, and I was with Hillary. And I think I might have been with you.
Yeah.
And it just so happened Hillary was playing the shower scene with the move or whatever in front of like the PR people, but it was just like that scene or whatever. She's like drying herself off.
Yeah,
like, this is
I remember how excited they were that game had rape in it. Do you guys remember this?
No.
Well,
they
were just like, so we had this really cool rape scene.
They gave
really?
An awkward demo. Yeah,
it was this really
I forget
awkward
about
demo.
It.
And it was
you better stop. It's when they're spoilers for Heavy Rain again. If you haven't watched it, when you're stripping for the guy at gunpoint.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about this demo. They were like, oh, what are you gonna do? He's gonna rape you if you don't get out of there.
Yeah,
they're
like,
making
you better
during the demo.
Rip your top off, and it's like, what? You guys are a little too excited about this. I don't know if the streets are ready for this yet.
That's fun. That's not.
That was
really
a weird demo that they had.
That is a bizarre demo.
I wouldn't want my mom to watch me play Battletoads when I was a kid because she would have put me in a mental asylum.
Oh,
she would have been like, "This kid's crazy, throwing his
screaming.
Controller at the
wall,
screaming, goddamn hover bikes."
I will say that when my mom and my sister came and visited me last year, and neither of them are into games. They don't care about games. My brother and my other sister are into games, but so they don't know where games have been and like where they are now, or whatever. So they came to the office, and that's when we just got Uncharted 2. So I showed them Uncharted 2, and it totally blew them away, the way the game looked. And I showed them Fat Princess because it was so funny and like over the top, whatever. And they liked that too. But they were so surprised how far games had come. I think they were still expecting to see me play like Castlevania 2 or something.
Yeah. when I was a kid, I think I've told the story before, so I'll make it brief. My grandmother had, you know, a pacemaker put in, and she came over for the first time afterwards, and I was playing Ghost House on the Master System. And if you remember when you turned on Ghost House, right, it was like, and like fire rose up behind the Ghost House. And like, I made sure I skipped past that because I didn't want my grandmother to die. I thought the fire would be so like scary it would hurt her heart and kill her, because that's what I did.
And she's like, look at those graphics.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, this sucks. And then more recently, when my mom came out to visit, she came out to visit when Rock Band 2 came out, and she had never really seen Rock Band in action, so she didn't understand why I was like obsessive about it, and why I was like, I'm gonna totally ignore you while you're here and play this. And she, when she watched it for a while, she's like, this isn't a game, this is way more than a game.
Yeah Well, that's one of those things that transcends and becomes more of an experience once people get it. At least it's like, just push the colored buttons to the colored lines, you'll get it, Mom.
Yeah right. And you'll play awesome music in tune.
My dad set up my NES and lost to Glass Joe in the first round and never played a video game again.
Really?
Yeah, that was it. I think he's the only person to ever lose to Glass Joe. It's on his record, that's what it says.
This is dumb. I'm out. See you later. What do you think is going to sell more? Asks AZ929. Little Big Planet 2 or Mass Effect 2?
Little Big Planet 2 will sell better.
Yeah, I think so too.
Really?
Yeah, don't you?
First of all, Big Planet sold 4 million copies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was over time, though, and worldwide.
I didn't realize
But,
that.
I mean, Mass Effect 2, you figure the problem is that, first of all, there's no campaign for that. You don't see, like, remember how huge the campaign was for on 360?
Yeah, you couldn't miss it.
No one's talking about it now, and so you're only dialing into hardcore people, whereas Little Big Planet is a much more mass appeal game. There's plenty of people who, like, you know, parents who buy for their little kids buy those games because Sackboy's so damn cute.
Personally, I hope Little Big Planet 2 sells more because I like going into that game 6 months after it's out and just playing everything.
I can't wait to see what levels come around with.
Yeah. I mean, I work all day, so I never have the creativity to go home and be like, hey, now you got to make your own video game.
I'm
like, oh, just make it for me and give it to me.
I just want it. Please.
Just
please
give it to me.
Dear God. All right. Two questions left.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two comes from Travis. Hey, Beyond Crew. Let me first get the much-needed thanks out of the way. Week after week, I'm entertained by your antics and gaming conversation. My question stems from listening to a few other podcasts in which you hear, quote, "Oh man, we're only at 20 minutes," end quote. So my question may seem silly, but do you guys enjoy doing the podcast? As in, do you look forward to it? Or is it more of a side job you have to do? It always sounds like you guys enjoy it, but I wanted to ask.
I can only speak for myself, but I really enjoy doing it. It interrupts the day sometimes. Thursday morning isn't always the best time to be doing these things, but we do them every week, and I really look forward to it. Honestly, when I get up on Thursday, I'm like, well, today will be a little easier. It'll be a little more fun. I get to record the podcast and talk to the fans and stuff. So
I love podcasting. This is my first time on your show. But
you're a big part of Game Spider briefings.
Yeah, and I was on Nintendo voice chat a couple times, and I've been on Knockin' Boots
with
Ryan Keeley. But, yeah, I love doing it. Like, it's fun. It's a great medium for me.
Yeah.
One of my more favorite ways to interact with fans.
Totally.
Listeners.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about how IGN is a community, and I think we get that now with my IGN and stuff like that, and definitely for Twitter and stuff like that, where we can talk to you.
Twitter, a lot of times, is like someone asks you a question, you retweet them, and you're like, yes.
Yeah, I know, right.
And here, like, we can, you know, really open up.
So yeah, I always say when we have this conversation, right, that if you listen to the show, you know me better than most of my family. Because this is me being more me than anywhere else you'll get. Like, my dad's phone call on Sunday is totally forced. And we talk about the weather and what celebrity died. Like, you know what I mean? That's usually, it's like, oh, how old do you think Hulk Hogan is? I'm like, I don't know, Dad. I'm like, let me Wikipedia that. He has no idea what that is. But, you know, like, this is, you're in the inner sanctum. And that's why I think when people meet us at meet and greets or at an event, it's so easy to fall into a random conversation or to invite them out to do something with us, right? Because this is us. And if you like this show, then you like us and you're probably just like us, just like all the people here on the wall, especially. Oh, and by the way, last week we talked about why Edson in his Beyond shirt photo with the things people use to open vaginas at the doctor's office.
Oh, wow.
And he emailed us back to let us know. This doesn't really clarify the matter of why he has them. It was taken at the local strip club.
Oh yeah. Why would they have
those? I know. What strip club? What?
And it also has the old. So at the strip club, they also have the old doctor mirror.
I know. Yeah, the old doctor mirror. And then behind, they have like a shiny curtain. So that makes sense. But
I love how he said that. Like, it answered the question.
I know, right?
In fact, it created more questions.
Now I want to know what room or act uses those. Like,
I don't know if you want to know that.
What woman's coming
There's
out
a name
of the
for those things, right?
What is of course.
Like jaws or tongs or something like that?
Somebody said forceps, and then we said that's
forceps?
Not right.
I don't
we
think
said
so.
That is not right. And then I think somebody jokingly said like fiveps. So I like that. Like fiveps. That was good. Final question comes from Thunder Dragon 7. I will read it in the voice I imagine it's written in due to the all caps. Okay. So I have wrote in a few times, but I am 10 years old, but I am super pissed, P-I-S-T, off, just because you don't talk about simulator racing games and Assassin's Creed games. Why? Also, when did you get all into JRPGs and shooters? Why not simulators, racing games, and games about assassinations that bring my hopes down to a level unreality, but always besides that you have to be the best podcast in the universe? Hope you liked this question. Thunder Dragon 7.
Wow.
Thunder Dragon 7. I do believe we talk about those games.
Like, why don't you guys talk about simulation racing assassination games?
We talk about simulation. We don't talk like about the simulation racing games.
We got to get to the president. Watch out for the oil slicks.
We talked about the GT5s.
I know. Well,
we're just not big fans.
Yeah, we don't talk about what we don't know very well.
We don't play. Or stuff that, I mean, how many games do we talk about that we just never talk about again? I've talked about Brotherhood at length. I enjoyed Brotherhood quite a bit. The multiplayer did not do it for me, but that single player campaign I thought was great.
If you're the Assassin's Creed games are awesome.
Yeah, if you didn't play, if you thought you could skip Brotherhood just because it's not a numbered game, you're going to be behind the times when 3 comes out, because it ends on a very interesting note that's going to change
also, you're
everything.
10.
I know, right?
Go watch the Power Rangers or something.
Wikipedia all this stuff, too. Right? What are you worried about?
That was a good reading, though. I enjoyed
that. Yeah, that was great.
That's how we ended.
What do they want you guys to talk about for
apparently only the games they care about.
But, like, racing games? Like, oh, yesterday I fine-tuned my tires.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay. Yeah, GT5, still cumbersome interface.
We extensively talked about Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
And made fun of its release date many times. Oh, Jesus Christ, sorry. Thank you. Many times. Right. So, is that it?
Yeah, that was it.
That was a good
another
batch.
Another Beyond in the books here.
Mm-hmm. What's that guy's name again?
Thunder Dragon 7. Thunder Dragon 7, I think, needs his own segment on the podcast.
It's weird because he's complaining about us talking about JRPGs, which we don't do often unless I'm making fun of them.
Oh, well, somebody's always got a question for Ryan about it.
No, of course. But here's the weird – no one sees the irony in this. His name is Thunder Dragon 7. Thunder Dragon invokes Final Fantasy to me, you know?
Yeah.
Thunder Dragons 1 through 6 kind of invoke Final Fantasy for me, but Thunder Dragon 7 is on some new shit.
So that's a racing sim. That's one of the drivers in Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Thunder Dragons.
not bad.
Unlockable dragons.
All right, folks. This has been a Podcast Beyond, episode 171. Before we go, remember to send all your listener mail to beyond@IGN.com. Also, follow IGN on Twitter @IGN. You can follow me on Twitter @GameOverGreggy, Colin @NoTaxation, and Brian Altano @AgentBizzle. Oh, yes, I do enjoy that name.
There we go.
Yes, what else do you want to pick? Game Spider Briefings. When does that go up? When can people listen to
whenever
briefing?
We feel like
whenever, it. Whenever you get around to it? Okay.
Yeah.
You have an album coming soon?
Eventually, yes. Right. Yeah, it's instrumental.
You got a book, too?
Yeah, I'm working on a book. Right. I got a bunch of shit. So.
So they should just follow you on Twitter to find out about all this.
Yeah, just stalk me. Stalk me on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want to do.
You should definitely follow him on Twitter. I like following Brian on Twitter. I retweet him probably once every few days because it's pretty illicit shit that's coming out of his 140 characters.
This also reminds me. I had a dream about Brian, and I've told Brian. I don't think you've told.
No, you told me.
I have told.
Well, you told you were. I was there. You were telling.
Oh, right, at the thing.
Yeah.
Is it worth telling the episode here in the show?
Yeah, why
not? I like that Brian's here. I want to make sure we give him the full treatment because he came in late. So I had a dream the other night, ladies and gentlemen, and it goes a little something like this. I'm at a fancy party of some kind. I'm not a tux, maybe just a suit. I don't remember. And I'm with Selma Hayek, who's in a very good looking dress. And I have been greenlit to have sex with Selma Hayek. This is going to happen. She is giving me the signals. We are going off to make love. And so I need a place, obviously, to make love to Selma Hayek. So I start walking around, and what I do is I walk into a nuclear reactor. And what it is a giant – like, imagine a Bond villain room. It's like a giant domed room. There's, like, red pulsating lights on the top, and then there's a guard in the center of the room guarding whatever the nuclear reactor is. It turns out this guard is Brian Altano. And he's sitting there kind of like, like the British honor guard. Not in that outfit, but, like, standing there not paying attention to anybody else or anything. So I walk in. And I'm holding Selma Hayek's hand, and I look at Ryan Altano, and I give him a look. I just, like, raise my eyebrows. I'm like, hey. And he's like, mm, and he, like, looks, he does, like, a shrug, and then he walks out of the room so I can make love to Selma Hayek in a nuclear reactor.
So you did it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got it on.
Good for you. Because I was connected in my mind as well, so I was having the same
your dream.
Dream.
I'm protecting a nuclear reactor.
Like, I had this dream where I had to take care of this thing, and I was like, I don't know what to do here. And Greg just walks in. I'm like, yeah, just don't. Don't bang her on the button.
That was the thing too. There was no buttons. There was no.
What were you guarding? Is that a movie where like you're having different dreams?
That happens in Scott Pilgrim, doesn't it? Where she uses
Inception.
Things. Inception as well too.
And Double Dragon as well.
But is that really? I mean, I saw Inception, but is that everyone's in the same dream, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're talking about dream crossover.
Yeah, like where like you're like, oh, I had a dream. And like, shit, I had the same dream, but I was that character.
If that's the case, then I feel really bad for Selma Hayek.
Yeah, she, so
she's
she
like, wait,
a dream?
I have that sex in a nuclear reactor?
not this again. Crap. God damn it.
She's forced into dreaming.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that. She also must be involved.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for being on the show.
Thank you.
Listen to us every Thursday here
Thanks
on IGN.
Me,
go
guys.
To IGN.com. Look at the Podcast Beyond article and vote on Colin's new name for the show. He can no longer be the guide's guru. Before we go, we're going to leave you with a song like we always do. Ryan was nice enough to leave his paperwork before he left. This one comes from James. Hey, Ryan, Greg, Colin. Been a longtime fan of Podcast Beyond. I made a little electronic song, and I figured it'd be cool to share it. So if you want to use it in the podcast, here it is. Thanks, and keep up the good work. James, we're totally going to use it. It's called Yeah, Spaceships.
Oh,
yeah,
awesome.
Spaceships. Remember, send your questions and songs to beyond@ign.com. You can be part of the conversational podcast. Until then, Beyond.
Beyond.
Oh, the mouse isn't hooked up. I'll turn it off this way.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app, and find out why over 1 million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.